Okay, so this process of meditation that we get into, so what are we actually looking at as far as developing one's personal practice? So the most obvious qualities that we're looking at is, say, peacefulness, tranquility of mind, but also that awareness, that sharpness of attention, which will give you the ability, or actually make you aware and give rise to insights that you can use for reflection and investigation. So naturally, you've got the two sides of the practice. You've got the peaceful, calming side, the tranquility meditation, and then you've got the active component, you know, that which investigates, contemplates, and understands. And so you need to keep those two sides in balance, you know, as you develop them over the months and years. And so as far as the actual supporting qualities with the practice, there's a number of things that you can do in everyday life to support that underlying tranquility, which if you've developed as a skill, you're able to actually revert the mind back. You can feel that inner silence, say, at the back of the mind. You may be very busy with your duties, responsibilities and whatnot, but for any of you who develop some skill over the years, you've got this ability to just turn the mind in to the recesses of the mind, and you can feel that underlying, or so that background calm. You know, you've got the thinking active mind, you know, which is the frontal part of one's consciousness, but there's, you know, because of the skill that you've developed over time, there's also this quiet background that you're able to actually revert one's attention to and just sort of relax in that from time to time. So the supporting conditions for tranquility meditation, especially in day-to-day life, because most of you are working at least part-time, full-time, you have and you have partners, children, your hobbies, interests and whatnot, so your lives may be quite full and engaging, but you're still interested in Dharma practice, you're still interested in developing the peaceful heart and also the wisdom, that quality of wisdom, you know, which hopefully will be in balance and at the same level as time goes by. So the things you can actually do in day-to-day life to maximize, say, the power and the strength of the meditation practice is the most obvious ones. When you look at your enlightenment factors, you know, your mindfulness is the first factor and it's the most crucial. So as you move in your day-to-day life, it doesn't make any difference whatsoever what you're doing, but have this very gentle focused attention. So whether you're working in the back garden, washing the dishes, you're talking with your child or driving the car or whatnot, that you, a very, very easy way is to keep one's eyes on everything one does, you know, whether you're with a person, one, you know, maybe a hobby or whatnot, and you get this kind of focused attention, which it's a mild form of sense restraint. And, you know, you do need that to sort of help calm, collect the mind, draw one's attention in. Because if the mind goes out, it goes out through the senses, then you start to see that excessive process of, say, proliferation of thinking, which will, say, like rob you of underlying, say, peace and silence. So this very, the kind of sort of mild sense restraint that you can do for, like, easily, you know, 10, 12, 14 hours a day, and that, you know, that will actually support the sitting meditation by helping to contain the mind, not allowing the mind to run wild, focusing on one thing at a time, staying close to the present moment. You know, you can reinforce the stability of the mind when you actually come to sit, and then naturally your precepts. It helps to safeguard and protect the mind, because anyone who's been practicing meditation, if we have any doubts, if we have any infractions whatsoever within our framework of morality, that you will actually feel that, because this is one thing that comes up, especially with the Buddhist practitioners, because the heightened sensitivity and awareness. You know, you're becoming aware of karma, you're becoming aware of moral law. So as soon as we make any slip-ups, there's misunderstandings, there's maybe unkind words with somebody else or whatnot, you know, you actually feel that within yourself on an emotional level. And but this, it makes it, what one of the essential points is, it makes you aware. It makes you aware of karmic principles, cause and effect. And so all this, these things, these little insights which come up, it's part of the learning process. And the longer, you know, the more years you've been practicing, the more sharp, the more aware and sensitive you get in this area. Even within the framework of the five precepts, you can take it to quite a refined level. You know, if you've been practicing meditation for 10, 20 years, your morality is usually pretty sharp. You know, you know where you're at, and you know what you're doing, and you see the effects of that. It's all within this framework of underlying awareness. And what else have we got there? And let me think now. All right, so we're just with the and also with the something which helps, which increases the energy of the mind, boost energy for samadhi practice is like active investigation. So it doesn't necessarily have to be specifically within, say, the framework of the Buddhist sutras. It can be anything in day-to-day life, even very, very small things, anything in nature, anything within one's like personal relationship format. Anything that you see in the papers, on the internet, on the telly, you can invest. You come to a full, investigate that. Come to a full understanding, and because as you investigate and energy starts to rise in the mind through that process of applied and sustained attention into the reality principle. Within your personal experience, that energy starts to arise, and when that energy becomes strong, then you start to experience, you know, like mild levels of say rapturous feeling. You know, you look at your enlightenment factors, mindfulness, investigation of states, investigation of dhammas, and then energy starts to roll. And when the energy gets strong, then you see rapture arising in day-to-day life and in the one's meditation practice. So those first three, people who've been practicing regularly, they're able to work those over time. And naturally, so with the investigation side, can be anything at all in one's day-to-day experience, whatever increases one's understanding, one's personal wisdom faculty. Okay, so let me think now what we can do. We'll just start off with our standard format. I'll do something, maybe I'll throw a few things in there, slightly different, but we'll start with the loving kindness and compassion. I always do this one because you need the energy and the positivity which arises with this practice, and it increases the quality of one's samadhi, softens the mind, helps settle the mind, takes the edge off of, say, the rough edges of any adversive states, helps protect you against anger, irritation, and garden variety states of aversion. So with the mantra format, just use what we'll do is with the loving kindness side of the mantra, may I be happy, peaceful, well-wise, skillful. Choose a key word which is important to you. The second half of the mantra is to be free from some sort of affliction, from fear, jealousy, emotional pain, maybe guilt or worry or vindictiveness. May I be free from that. Say for an example is may I be joyful and free from, say, like aversion in a general sense. So you choose the words which are important to you, and then do that mantra continuously for the next 5 minutes, and then we'll move on with another two or three meditations and then go to the breath. So just sit comfortably, You know, as most of you know, back nice and straight, head upright and relaxed. Make sure you can breathe into the full chest. Have nothing tied around the waist and the say the knees and the hip, elbows and wrists, and just keep yourself in a very just a comfortable range with each meditation practice as we go along. So we'll move on with this chakra point meditation. If you, this will help ground your attention in your physical body. So if you can just place your attention at the center point, at the crown of your head for the next, say, 10, 15 seconds. You can drop your attention to that point between your eyes. Now drop down to the front of your throat where your voice box is. Now drop down to the middle of your chest. If you can focus on your tantien, which is 1 inch below your belly button. of drop down and focus on that point on your at the very base of your spine. So we'll move across to the breath meditation. We'll do just a counting method in forward and reverse order. So just focus on the cycle of breathing in the full chest between the throat and the belly button. As you breathe in, count one. As you breathe out, count one. Breathe in, count two. Breathe out, count three. Go all the way up to 10 breaths, breathing in, breathing out, and then go back down to one in reverse order. So after your 10th breath, drop down to down to the 9th breath, 8, 7, 6, 5. Drop down to 1, and then back up to 10. So, count the breaths in forward and reverse order as you go along, and just keep the meditation very relaxed and comfortable. So if you feel a little bit sleepy or drowsy, just breathe very, slow, deep breaths and maximize your alertness. still find the mind is quite busy. Just draw out the length of the syllables of the number. So as you breathe in one all the way in and all the way out. The second breath, number two, all the way in, all the way out, and then up in forward and reverse order, which leaves less room for thoughts to arise in the mind. So we'll narrow the focus down. If you can just place your attention on that area, say around the mouth, the lips, or at the nose tip as you choose, and keep counting the breaths as you go along. find that the mind is still not settling down adequately, just stop and investigate that current mind state. You know, come to a full understanding of it, because as the mind, as the understanding increases, the mind relaxes and lets go. So we're coming towards the end of the meditation. I'll ring the gong 3 times and you can open your eyes when you're ready. Has anybody got any questions on the meditation at all before we finish up? Okay, we'll finish it there.